Song service has been great so far today, and it's appreciative to see so many out and have visitors with us. It's good for me to be back up here after having a month off last month, as Kyle took a lesson and did a great job with that. We talked about being a friend of Jesus, and certainly as Christians, that is probably the most important thing for us to be. If we're in line with God's Word, we will be a friend of Jesus. And I was thinking about the passage the last couple of days, about as we draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to us. And that goes along nicely with some of the thoughts we'll be looking at today. Lots of metaphor in the lesson, as always, but trying to apply spiritual application to it. I don't want to scare some of the people in the front row a little bit here. A little tongue-in-cheek start there. Don't back out and don't leave the building, because we're watching out for briars today. And to stretch that point a little further, a briar is a rustic or hillbilly, especially one from Appalachia. Chiefly, I have no idea how this definition got in there. Ohio, I'm not sure it's supposed to be on there, but Kentucky and Tennessee. And it's certainly a word we use disparagingly. It's not people from Kentucky are good people, as are from Ohio and Tennessee. We have some that are a little questionable sometimes, but that is not what we're looking at today. I went back to the title slide on there, and you see that big briar patch there today. We're going to be focusing on those briar patches today. A better definition of what we're looking at today, a briar is a prickly plant or shrub, especially the sweet briar or a green briar, which I have some pictures of today. A tangled mass of prickly plants or a thorny stem or twig. So what do they look like up close? Any of you have ever have a contact with briar or a briar patch, whether you're working on the yard or trying to go fishing or trying to do whatever you may be trying to do, they're not fun things to get into. If you ever go hunting or something like that, you probably run into them too. I know any of us that have got more than probably a half acre or a quarter acre have probably had to deal with it. Sometimes even that acreage, depending on what surrounds you, if you've got farm fields around you and stuff, that stuff likes to just show up, and boy, is it a mess to get into. And you can get through it, you can work it down, but it's a difficult thing. So when we're watching out for briars, we want to look at some things here. So why do we have briars? Always good to go back and see how some of these things came into existence that we have around us. Remember back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, after Adam and Eve had sinned, they did what God told them not to do. They ate of the tree of knowledge of good, and they basically sent themselves to a final destination of being put on the sin list before God and not being perfect as they were. And verse 17 starts out and says, "Then said to Adam, he said, because you have not heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you." We'll continue with that passage here a little bit later. One thing that's always nice to go back to the Bible and look at a lot of the things that we struggle with. And these right here in Genesis chapter 3, we see so much. It's not an easy thing. Any woman that's ever had a child, you know that delivering a child is very difficult. And us guys can only see what you go through, the caring of the child, the delivery of the child, and then that we all hopefully take part in the raising of a child. In the beginning, it may not have been God's plan. He said because Eve sinned, that penalty was going to be something she'd have to deal with. We don't know what God's plan was for the way that male and female reproduction would work up to that point, but because of that sin, that happened. We also can see from this verse that apparently, as we go into looking at Scripture, we can only make the assumption that the ground was going to bring forth the seed that Adam and Eve tended the garden. Remember, we read when they first start there, the garden they tended, and that's what they ate. That was their food, their sustenance there. But here we learn that something's going to happen different. It's not going to be this flourishing garden that has no weeds, no rabbits, no deer, and all of you that have gardens, you know what all those things are. They're difficult things that are going to make it a problem to raise your crops, whether they're tomatoes or squash or melons, whatever the case may be. Adam's sin says he's going to be working for the rest of his life, and that continues on us today. When we raise crops, we're going to be having to deal with these things. Briars are just a problem. Well, Israel had briars around them. We can look back in Numbers chapter 33, verse 55. We know that God told those people, when you're going to go to this land and I'm going to give you an inheritance, I want you to do this. The this that He wanted is to drive out all those sinful nations that practice things that were in opposition to God. The kids and I were talking downstairs today about what righteousness was. And we said the word right. If you do something right, what is the opposite of right? It's wrong. So you don't want to do things that are wrong. Israel was to do righteous. They were to go out and remove all those people that were those briars around them and to get rid of them. It says, but if you do not drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall be those whom you let remain shall be irritants in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and they shall harass you in the land where you dwell. If we don't clear the paths around us to get rid of those briars or those thorns, every time we try to go down that path, we're going to get snagged and we're going to get cut. God said, I want all those people that are doing evil away from me. I don't want anybody to be around anymore. I want you to be pure. But they didn't listen. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 5, it says, thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. He who guards his soul will be far from them. I think I talked about this in a lesson a couple months ago, talking about what perverse is. We think of people that are perverse or people that just really have some sick, twisted ideas. But if you look down there, the definition that most often is used for perverse, willfully determined or disposed to go counter to what is expected or desired. Somebody that's being contrary. So sometimes what we think of as perverse is that it's just a perverted or a perverse person that they're sick. But what the definition really means is somebody that's perverse is somebody that's doing the opposite of what they should be doing. And so when people, it says their thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse, if people are going contrary to the way that they should go, they're going to be dealing with these thorns and snares and difficulties. But it says, he who guards his soul will be far from them. So if we are not going in the opposite direction, we're going in the right direction, we're going to be safe from those briars, as we talk about today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 12-14, therefore, let him who thinks he stands, and we've read this verse many times, but I think it's very appropriate today. Him who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Sometimes we've talked about this before, and it seems to find in my lessons often because it's something I have to watch. Every time I think I'm really planted and firm and doing what God wants me to do, and I start kind of taking I relish that a little bit, like, oh, I'm in pretty good shape. Something snags me. And we'll get to a passage here talking about this. I told Abe that when I had this idea, this verse here as one that came from a lesson he had a few weeks back. Proverbs 11:6 says, the righteousness of the upright will deliver them, but the unfaithful will be caught by their lusts. And that idea of caught triggered that idea of the snare, thorns are, the snare that briars are. It doesn't take much. You can be going for a walk with the family. Again, it seems like fishing was always a thing for our family. Even when I go out with the kids into the back field where our creek is and I go fishing back there, I can be walking along fine and there's just one little branch hanging too far out over. It's like, ooh, you just feel that, ouch, and it got me. I thought I was fine, but it got me. And this passage here just has really been on my mind a lot lately because it just takes one branch. And sometimes if it gets you in the right place, that one branch might pull you and you try to get out of it. And the next thing you know, you're stuck into a whole bunch of briars. It could be a problem for us. Psalms 119:110 says, the wicked have laid a snare for me. So the people around us that are doing opposition to God, those perverse people that God is not happy with, not only do we have to deal with our own path of righteousness, trying to be doing what we should before God, other people are putting things out there for us that we'll have to avoid. A little illustration here for you. When we're watching out for briars, going back to that passage there we just said, the wicked have laid a snare for me. Wickedness, everything in opposition to God, no matter what it is just like a big patch of briars. And we've probably all been down paths like this. Especially, again, if you've ever gone hunting, it seems like you always have to go places where it's very difficult to go through. When I go down to visit my brothers, when I go hunting in December, usually when I can go down there, there's one great path at the top of this one friend's hill, probably about 300 feet, kind of going up the top of this ridge, and just a great place to hunt. Plenty of deer out there, but that path, he lets overgrow every single year, and I go up there, and I'm just tearing myself apart, kind of going through there, trying to walk down that path, and it's just like this, just stuff everywhere. And again, going back there, the wickedness or those things that are wrong are like that. And it's interesting, too, just a side note on doing art there. All those thickets there are just one branch. I just got them all replicated on there. And that's kind of how sin is. It just repeats itself. It might just be one little thing, but if it's everywhere around us, it's very difficult for us to get through that path. Psalms 119:34-36 says, give me understanding, and I will keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. make me walk down the path of your commandment, for I delight in it. So, again, that idea of being close to God, He's going to help us. Many, many passages in the Bible talk about how God, David so often says, you broaden my path, or you enlarge my path as I'm walking. Psalms 119:110, continuation from the passage we had earlier, we said, the wicked have laid a snare for me, but it continues on and says, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. So even though the wicked have got those things out there to try to catch us, to snag us, if we're doing what God's precepts are, if we're following Him, we're not going to have to worry about that. Wouldn't you rather go down a path like that? You sure you got briars on both sides of you? You got all those thorns and those things to catch us up spiritually as individuals? There's temptations here and temptations there all around us. People are just not doing what God said. But we've got this big, broad area to walk down there. And if those things are far enough away from us, if we're paying attention to where we're going, we're not going to have such a problem otherwise. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 50, verses 6 and 7, partial, it says, my people have been lost sheep. Their shepherd has led them astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from the mountain to the hill. They have forgotten their resting place. All who found them have devoured them. So here we see that the people knew the direction to go. The shepherd certainly is supposed to keep them on the path. But it says here that it's not what is happening there. The sheep have been lost. The shepherd led them in the wrong direction. They led them astray. And the sheep have turned just different directions on the mountain. Well, we might be on this wide path. It's the exact same picture I had before. But I've also got a bend in the path there. Sometimes that bend in the path can be a problem for people. We hear such terrible stories. All of us that have phones that can text, we know how tempting it is to see if somebody sent me a message when you're driving, or you might be tempted to send something back to them. You hear all these stories about these kids getting killed because things like that happen. If you're on a perfectly narrow strip of road, and it's still not someplace that you should be doing something like that, but you might have a better time, but if that road bends at all, and that's where I almost always see these kids getting killed and running into trees, it's the things that we don't expect, a sudden change in direction. God says that if we follow Him, we're on the path of righteousness. And it is a path of righteousness. It's not a straight line. It's going to have curves. There's always going to be something we're going to have to weave around. Even if we're in the middle of this path, like you see down here, this is a nice open area. If we keep going straight, we're going to run straight in to more of those snares that we're to avoid. And like we looked at the passage here, the shepherd may not be leading us the way we're going. The people around us may not be going the way that we should be going. We may have even gotten lost. And if that happens, we're going to run smack into them. Even though God says that there's that way of escape up here, we just need to be seeing where we're headed. In Philippians 2:4 says, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but for the interests of others. So the other thing that we're supposed to be doing is we're watching out for briars, especially spiritually, is we're always to be on guard. Walk down your path. You're in the back of your property. Know where those briars are. Look out for them. Stay away from them. In our spiritual lives, know where the sins are that cause you problems. And avoid them. Stay away from them. Stay close to God. Stay away from those sins. But also, look around and see if there's others around us that are having problems walking too. Going back up here, they may not see that bend in the road. They may be talking to somebody back behind them. And spiritually, they just kind of sometimes maybe don't pay attention. We need to make sure that we're helping each other out. James would say in James 5:19-20, brethren, if any of you among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Again, a passage that we've talked about a lot. All of us are frail people. We all have difficulties. We all face temptations. And sometimes those snags will get a hold of us tightly. We're going to need somebody to help us out of there. And that's what you get here. These are people that were on that path and walking along. That big thing there in the middle, not indicative of size, but would be us. We're trying to get down this path. If we're doing right, we're following God's Word. We're following the path that God has laid out for us. But we look around, and there's these people that we know, brothers and sisters in Christ, that have not paid attention. They have kind of walked into the weeds. And sometimes they need extracted out of there. Just like in an accident, a car accident. I was just talking to a friend of mine the other day, and she said they were in an accident. The car rolled over, and the car was damaged such that she was in a ditch, and they had to use one of those jaws of life to pull her out of there. Sometimes people have to wait to be extracted from those things. God can certainly do anything for us, but there's certain things in our lives, spiritually especially, that we need to make sure that we're trying to do our best to get other people out of them. Sometimes it could be a note saying, we need to do this a little bit better. Other times it could be saying, well, we need to, how's things going for our lives? And there's just so many things that we need to be cautious of. the bottom line is watching out for these accidents. If you've ever gone down the road and the road turns real sharp, and it does that in a lot of places down in this area, those are the places you usually see the skid marks. On the hill, you go over the top of the hill, and semi trucks come over there and somebody stop and they pull in their driveway. They lock them tires up. Black marks are all over the place. That's because it's the bends in the road that cause the most problem for everybody. And it certainly was when we're talking about briars, physically or spiritually. We talked about looking out for the interests of others as well as ourselves, but in Revelation 2:5 it says, "Remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent." Again, this metaphor that we see over and over in the Bible, our lights, let them shine so others can see our good works and glorify God, and glorify what we're doing for Him. But the lampstand, the light, the candle, those are all for us to see our way. Picture yourself out in a dark place. Abe's talked about it before. Back in the time when the Bible was written, there weren't lights like we have today. The only lights that were out at night were the stars, the moon, and any candles or whatever they had. Those lampstands basically provided them a way to get around. People had to go out at night just like they do today, and they needed to have some light there. At night, the Bible tells us very clearly, that's when the bad people get worse. And so we need to make sure that when we're watching out for the paths, that we can get around even at night, spiritually speaking. So we talked about all those people being off the side there. It could be us. It could be all of our family. It could be our church family. It could be a brother or sister that's fallen away many years ago. We need to try to pull them out of there. And I guess I could have showed ways to dig back into those briars and pluck those people out of there. But that's what the goal is for us, to stop and try to get those people out of there, especially if they know what they need to be, the path that they mean to be going on, and they just are kind of stuck. The Bible tells us sometimes that's what happens to us in sin. We get so mired down by all the cares around us, we get caught. And I've tried to find some pictures online to show you, but sometimes these cats and dogs, it's got a lot of fur on them, they get stuck in those things too. The dogs especially, they got a lot of fur, they're trying to catch a rabbit or something, they get back in them briars and they're just pinned. They need their owners to come back there and rescue them out of there. So when we're watching out for briars, we may have to walk amid briars at times. Physically, we might be doing yard work, be out there on your fence line or in your backyard, getting ready for a big event or something like that. You might be watching out for briars, like I said, when you go hunting. There's just always problems like that. Spiritually, briars and the thorns around us could be our family. It could be our work life. Anything that's going to latch on to us and slow down our progress before doing what is right before God. Things that are going to be contrary to us. And again, we may not be turning from doing what's right. We're going the right direction. But if those things are all grabbing into our shirts and our pants and tugging on our clothes, it might be causing us problems. So what do we do about that? How do we fight out the problems with briars, physically or spiritually? Ephesians 6:10 and 12, we've talked about this passage a lot, and we think about it, warfare, as if warfare, but sometimes we don't simplify it a little bit. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, and in the power of His might, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And notice here, it's another passage, a section of this passage we don't look at a lot. Paul's telling us, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not our goal as Christians to wrestle against flesh and blood. What we're wrestling against, it says, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. It's really easy to read this passage and say, Christians, we're going to have a tough time getting along with family and work and people like that. They're going to be difficult for us. Those are going to be the snags that we have to shut off. That's not what Paul's saying. He's saying there's going to be people like that that are going to be problematic for us. They're going to impede our spiritual progress. But he's actually saying down here, as I understand it, we are wrestling directly with Satan. Satan is the one that's making those people do those things. Those principalities and powers, the rulers of this darkness, there are some big forces that are going to be in your life that are going to try to do their best to grab a hold of you and slow you down. It's not just a brother or friend, sister, somebody at church that's kind of fallen away, or maybe people at work that just aren't doing right. Those aren't the people that you're fighting. You're fighting Satan, and they are just doing his will. So some things we can do, and going back to the hunting thing here, Ephesians 6:13 says, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand." And again, I said, sometimes we get in the idea with this spiritual preparation. We put on all these things. Ephesians continues on there, talks about the shield of faith and basically armor. We see these medieval knights. That's what we kind of picture here, very much what Paul's presenting. But when we're hunting, I've got a pair of pants like this, about the only couple things I've got to go hunting. But those pants are amazing. They're just regular denim on the top and in the back. But this section right here on the front, that's all polyester. And I don't care how thick of briars I'm walking in. When you walk through those things, there's nothing for those briars to grab a hold of. That polyester just will not let those thorns latch into them. And I thought that was such a great example about this putting on this armor, having done all to stand. If you know you might get off that path or you're going to be in a risky place where that path gets really narrow, put on clothing that you're going to be able to make it through it without getting caught up into it. And I put these boots on here for a really good lesson. Every time I cut wood, I put on boots. They're heavy, they're waterproof, and I can have logs fall on them, I can have stuff poke them in the sides. I don't have a problem with it. I took the day off Thursday to get some work done in our bottom pasture. We have got some thorn trees that I had forgotten how wicked they are. I mean, they are wicked. There was one of them that had a thorn that was about that long, and the top diameter was about that big. I went down there in my tennis shoes because I knew I didn't have to cut any big wood. Three times in the exact same place on my foot, I tried to slide some brush out of the way and put a thorn right in the side of it. And fortunately, thank God, it just got a small amount of injury on there, but it was not pleasant. And I kept thinking about this lesson the whole time I kept doing it. I was like, Roger, you should have had your feet shod. That's what I should have had, some boots that was not going to let that penetrate the side of my shoe there. So remember that. When it says take up the whole armor of God to withstand the evil day, we need to make sure that we're prepared for whatever we're going to be facing and always on guard for it. If I got those pants and those boots on, I can walk through those things. But I want to make sure that that path's clear. That's the best way to do it. So in summary, we know, number one, life is not an easy path to tread. Whether it's a wide, broad path or whether it's that narrow path, there's going to be snares, thorns, and difficulties all along the way. And as I talked about there in that passage we so often skim over, it's not just the people in our lives that are going to be causing us problems. Satan is going to be behind whatever actions are causing difficulty for us, and he's going to be looking out for us. He wants us bad. So, to illustrate that again, there's that path. Number two, we can do our part to keep away from danger, just like I talked about the pants. But most of all, if we stay on those paths that are wider, almost anywhere you go, whether in your yard or to go hunting or wherever, there's usually one way that you can go that's really, really going to be hard, but there's usually an alternate way that you can go that's a little bit easier. Try to stick to the easier path if you can. Also, the path can twist and turn, so we must watch out for it. Again, we don't want to run face first into something that we're not expecting. Look for it, get around it. Once we contact sin, it can take hold of us. And again, just the close-up view of those briars there. I think that's the green briar. I don't have all my scientific names for these, but each one of them are pretty tough. And each one of them will lay hold of you, and they'll just mess you up. So in closing, life is filled with many snares, and that is the sin that we face. So much, actually, the snares that the Bible teaches us is that the temptations around us. The sin is when we let those things grab a hold of us. We don't prepare enough. We walk into it, whatever the case may be, and that's where sin comes from. We've all been caught up. Sometimes many of us still may be. We maybe have shaken off most of them, but have you ever come in from doing some yard work and you're like, man, what is bothering me? And you look back here, maybe you've got a flannel shirt on or a jacket on, and you've got this whole branch of a briar that's still stuck on you. And you're like, what is that? Or especially kids, they go out there and they get those things in the fall that come off those thistles that just, they just totally collect around your shoes or your shoestrings and stuff like that. Sometimes we carry around those things and they're going to cause problems for us. Another thing, others don't stay far enough away from those cuts and tears. Again, maybe you've got that wide open area, maybe you've got that narrow area. There's still ways that you can navigate through that thing. And even if you do, if you just take your time, you can break those branches out of the way, you can push them aside, you can take your chainsaw, whatever you got. There's always tools for us to cut those things away and we can make it through it. And the fourth point here, to wrap up the lesson, Jesus willingly walked straight into the worst of the briar patch in order to keep us out of them and never be harmed by them again. Jesus knew what was coming for him. He knew about the thorns. Not just the thorns on his head, but he knew about the figurative thorns that we're talking about today. He knew that Satan was after him, all those things that we talked about, the dark principles, the principalities, the powers of the dark age, everything Satan had was aiming straight at Jesus. He wanted to stop him full force. Jesus walked right into the belly of Satan and killed whatever power that he had on human beings to put an end to Satan's grasp on us. He could no longer hold on to us because Christ opened up that path for us to get to heaven. He said that you can come out of sin, can be forgiven through obedience and through a life of devotion to Christ and to God, and again, certainly to stay close to Him. And because of what He did for that, we can never be harmed by it again. Sure, as Christians, we're going to keep brushing up against those thorns. We're going to keep getting them stuck to our clothing. They're going to tear at us from time to time. But we just need to make sure that we're getting down that path as best we can. So, the question as we finish up here, which path are we on today? Hopefully, we're trying to aim for this bottom path. None of us like walking on a path that's that tight as that first one is. We don't want those thorns around us. We don't want to be cut. We want to make sure that we're wide open. And I can't insist. I've certainly seen a big change in just what I've tried to do for Christ. Is that idea of drawing nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to us. I'm trying to read my Bible more and trying to study more and look at things that brothers and sisters are talking to me about, of things that they think is important for the church to be thoughtful of. And the more I do that, the easier it is to get down these paths. And it really is. Any of us that do that can feel that simplicity of God's power in our life. We are more able to just recognize as soon as something comes up that might be a temptation for us, and we're doing God's will, I see that for what it is. It's immediately clear. And I've talked about this before. If you've got a clean sheet, a white sheet, put the smallest dot on there, it looks terrible. You know exactly what happened. But if you've got a sheet full of dirt, we're not cleaning it off, we're not drawing close to God, it's really hard to tell when something new gets on there. And that's exactly how our lives can be. So this morning, as we get ready to sing the song that's been selected for our invitation, I encourage you to think about how life has been for you. Maybe the thorns are all around you and you just need the prayers of the congregation to be able to deal with them a little bit better. Maybe you're not dealing with them very well, or maybe you're running into the briar patch yourself, falling into it, and maybe not even looking out for it. So maybe let those needs be known. And if you've not been a Christian and you see how God's path can be opened up for you, maybe you can make that decision this morning to be accepting Christ into your life. And I encourage you all to stand and sing as we go into the invitation.